the luck, and the boredom of millions of people. Every week, we dive deep into the minds and histories of some of the most notorious serial killers the world has ever seen. Led by intrepid producer and researcher Marcus Parks, co-hosts Henry Zebrowski and Ben Kissel leave no stone unturned as they examine minute details of these murderers' lives and make fun of their dimple penises and infatuation with milk. Years of researching serial killers has revealed that most of these criminals are not the monsters of nightmares they are so often portrayed to be by quote-unquote true crime entertainment, but are more often huge dorks who couldn't get anything right in their lives, so they turn to murder and mayhem. And we're here to pick this all apart. Now for the last podcast on the left, roll call! Hi, I'm Henry Zebrowski, and I'm a professional comedian. I hail from Queens, New York. I am 35 years young, and at the present, I'm a loose-bodied, 180-pound man with a mind of garbage but a heart of gold. On Last Podcast on the Left, I do a lot of character voices and try my best to keep up with the research prowess of Marcus Parks. I believe in the healing power of our Dark Lord Satan.
Hey, I'm Ben Kissel, a big guy from the Midwest who's always been fascinated by horror films and true crime stories. As a matter of fact, I grew up only 20 minutes from Ed Gein's grave in Plainfield, Wisconsin. My job on the podcast is to contribute levity to some of the most heinous crimes ever committed and to learn right along with you, the audience.
He learns. Now, what goes into the book form of a podcast? That's a good question. Each chapter is a deep dive into a serial killer with Marcus's analysis driving the narrative and jokes interjected by Henry and Ben. We are tackling 9 of the most notorious serial killers in history. Most you would identify easily on the Tumblr page of a serial killer groupie. And we've addressed most of them on the show in one fashion or another, but our goal here is to look at these creatures again with fresh eyes. Let us be very clear. Marcus wrote most of this. Henry and Ben drank and stared at him while he was hunched over a keyboard like Jack Torrance. All we had to do was write the introduction, which turned out to be very difficult. It's hard to write a book. Join us as we cackle into the darkness. The only way to defeat these monsters is to laugh at them, or put them in jail, obviously. Hail Satan, hail Gein, hail yourselves. This is the last book on the left.
Chapter 1. Ted Bundy. When it comes to serial killing, one hesitates to use qualifiers like best or greatest because, for the most part, using descriptors of that sort is tasteless and disrespectful to the victims. But if one were to objectively quantify pure ability, evasion skills, and the capacity to inspire fear in the hearts of the public, Ted Bundy would come out on top. This man was so terrifying, so reprehensible, so iconic that he seemed mythical. However, when you pull back the curtain, Bundy, like all the degenerates we're going to get to know over the course of this book, was just a man. Unfortunately, given that very few people ever actually witness a serial killer at work and live to tell the tale, we generally have to trust the most untrustworthy person in the room to create the narrative, the actual killer. The mythology that surrounds Ted Bundy is one that he helped to create, from his supposed habit of gussying up the decapitated heads of his victims with makeup to the sexual acts he allegedly performed on said heads. While there is no doubt about the heinousness of his crimes, there remains skepticism as to the veracity of some of his claims.
As a Knicks fan, I witness a serial killing every game.
They are paid millions of dollars to lose. I can relate. I am paid literally hundreds of dollars to suck on television.
Even before he got a chance to humble brag about his crimes, Bundy was already well-versed in deception. Throughout his life, he fooled those around him by combining his striking good looks with a carefully crafted aw-shucks facade that was rooted in sociopathic confidence. Outwardly, Bundy personified the old cliché. Women wanted him, and men wanted to be him. Inwardly, he was fueled by narcissism and rage.
Ted Bundy follows a long line of serial killers who lived double lives. During the day, they were normal, meaning they could hold a job and have relationships, but in their minds, they would turn into a monster.